Today's sermon is called Seeing Hannah. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Lord God of our Eastertide, hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Mother's Day is that special day that comes around once a year when our attention is rightly focused on our moms. According to the Oxford Dictionary, a mother is a woman who has borne a child. Really? That's it? Being a mother isn't simply a matter of having children. To think that is just as absurd as believing that having a piano makes one a pianist. It's not surprising that the secular world falls short of understanding what a mother is, or for that matter, what a father is, because motherhood was God's idea. God knows what makes a good mother, and one such good mother is recorded in the Old Testament. Her name was Hannah. Now, most of you here, you know I like art. I enjoy a good painting, and I took a vacation a couple of weeks ago to Florence to see some really good early Renaissance paintings. I don't know anything about the technical aspects of art, for sure, but in spite of that ignorance, I still like looking at a good painting. I love knowing or imagining the story in the painting or the author's story behind it. That is, what prompted the artist to paint the picture? The images in a painting, as we consider them, they start to move us towards a narrative and entering into not only the drama of the immediate setting that we see on the canvas, but what happened in the time and space before the image of the painting, and foreshadowing what might happen in the future. So, for today, I'd like to paint a picture of how a godly mother looks, basing my theme on the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel 1. But beforehand, before we do that, I need to prepare the canvas by laying out a foundational question. Are mothers important? It's Mother's Day, after all. Are mothers important? What do we think? Yeah, of course they are. Yeah. So there's the obvious point that without mothers, none of us would be here today. That's the procreation bit that our Oxford English Dictionary covered. But more than that, I think we can all agree our characters have been indelibly marked and impacted by our mothers. We do not have the character that we have today without some impact from our moms. Mothers play a very significant role in a person's development, don't they? They're game changers for sure, one way or another. In this story, Samuel has a godly mother. How about you? If we had a godly mother, we should be very thankful today. Yet for some, remembering our mom brings pain and sadness. Our moms maybe didn't have a very good start or a pretty rough trip in life. For us, this day may be a start of the process for healing, reconciliation, and forgiveness of those moms. Mothers play a primary role in molding and shaping the lives of countless people, not just their offspring, yet it seems in this day and age, however, motherhood is considered to be something passé. We still talk about it in corporate life and in the popular press about being on the mommy track in a frame that puts motherhood in terms of lost earnings and prestige. Is being a mother less important than a career or finding out who you are? Hollywood often portrays motherhood and children as simply getting in the way of a woman living her life otherwise. But motherhood is something God created and saw as good. So the first point we should acknowledge is that mothers are important. To be a mother is a very good thing. What made Hannah a great mother? What can we learn about godly motherhood from her? For me, a couple of things come to mind. First of all, mothers matter when they're committed to God in prayer. In our painting, in our story, Hannah was bereft with grief. And yet, our text says she was committed to God and prayer. Her heartfelt pain was that she had no children. And on top of this, she had to endure the daily taunting of Peninnah, mocking her barrenness. And even Eli questioned her sanity. And yet, she continued to pray earnestly, trusting God and persevering in God. God heard this mother with a humble and contrite heart, who could turn to no one but the Lord. I think also, mothers matter when they commit their children to the Lord. We live in a world of entitlement and self-determination. We believe it is our right to possess and determine how something or someone is used. This is a far cry from the biblical position of seeing all things as gifts to us from God, and that we are to submit to God's will in how we live and how we determine how something's used and how others are to live their lives. Hannah understood this. She recognized Samuel was not hers, but belonged to God. The Lord's will for Samuel took precedence over her own desires for her child. This was hard for her. It'd be hard for you, do you think? She would miss out on play dates at the Jordan River, maybe. Hide and seek in the hills of Samaria. Goodnight cuddles. Regardless, she wanted Samuel to belong to the Lord more than to herself. She preferred the pleasure of knowing that her son had followed the Lord. In today's world, helicopter parents too often have their minds made up about what their children will or will not do. Sometimes we even talk about Black Hawk helicopter parents who very much ensure that nothing will get in the way of their will for their children. So it takes great trust on behalf of a mother to believe that God has the very best interest in mind. Doesn't it? Hannah understood this and put the full weight of her heart onto God. Third, I think mothers matter when their love is sacrificial. Hannah exemplifies the teachings of Jesus. She was willing to lose her life for the sake of God. She was willing to lay down her life for her son. Hannah was willing to give up everything for the sake of her child, to have a child. But at the end of the day, it was not her will be done. It was God's will be done. She demonstrates laying down her life for another, just as Jesus said is the greatest love. A mother's love is deepest and most fierce with and for her children. David Lloyd George is remembered as one of the greatest prime ministers of Great Britain. Our grandmothers know this story, but we don't. When he was an infant in Northern England, his mama got caught in a blinding blizzard with her son. Lost and freezing, she huddled beneath a tree. For this modicum of shelter against this fierce storm, she knew it was cold. She knew she couldn't make it home, but she still removed her coat and wrapped it around the young David. Next day, she was found dead, frozen to death. But David, he was still alive. That's fierce love. And fourth, I think mothers matter because they bless our lives. Some of us are mothers with an empty nest out here. And your children may have started their own families. But you're still their mother. How does that look to be their mother at this stage in their life? Maybe the key is blessing. There are so many ways in which you can bless your children. Most of them have nothing to do with money or inheritance. How about a word of encouragement? A brief phone call, a quick email, a note card, post a message on their Facebook page simply to say, I love you, and I'm praying for you. But then you know what? Actually take the time to pray for them. Prayer matters. This is going to go a long way. Bless your children and your children's children. Today is a time to bless your children and encourage them in the hard stuff of life. The best lessons they can learn from you are resilience. In the face of difficulty, how do you keep going? And you can help them learn that by reaching out in love when they need it. With age comes wisdom. You know that. Don't hold it back. Share it in a loving manner. And by the way, this doesn't just apply to your own kids. If you know someone who has no mom, then bless them. Oh, and pray for them too. I'll leave you with these final thoughts. Mothers matter, and we should honor them. For many of us, our mothers are getting older, and we're now becoming more and more responsible to take care of them. This is a normal part of life. They've given so much, and now they are to receive much. So that cycle continues. How do we remain a daughter or son to our mother when she's older? How do we do that? How might we remember the fifth commandment? It's the one right after all the commandments talk about our duties to God. The next commandment says, honor your mother so that you may live long in the land. There's no time limit or expiration date. It's for life. Jesus said, those who humble themselves will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And so it remains our task to humble ourselves before our parents. Serve them. Be patient with them. It takes more time to do things than before, so let's be gracious to them by empowering them to do things for themselves and others. Because but for God's grace go I, right? Our parents are at this stage in life when they need purpose, and we don't always understand that. Mothers never stop being mothers. It's in their DNA to love and serve, just as it is in their Lord's. Their role may have changed, but their desire is not. And so, I'd like to come back to our first question, where we started. Do mothers matter? I think the answer to this question is summed up in the ancient Jewish proverb, God could not be everywhere, so he made mothers. Happy Mother's Day. Thanks be to God. Amen.